Alcoholics Anonymous.
So I'm going to share, like we are told in our general way, what happened. Wait, what I used to be like, what happened, and what I'm like now. So my mom got pregnant with me at the age of 17, and we live in New Jersey. And at that time in New Jersey, if you were not 21 years old, you were not considered an adult. And so right after my mom had me, because she refused to give me up for adoption, my grandparents took custody of me. And so my mom ran off, came back a couple years later. She came back home because the marriage that she, the guy she married, it come to find out he was also like my real father, an alcoholic, a womanizer, and a gambler. So she came back home and got a divorce, and she had two more kids with her. So my two sisters. Eventually, she met my stepfather, who has been the only father I've ever known. He adopted me and my sisters. He has loved me like his own. I never did, never felt like he wasn't my dad. I got introduced to him when I was five, and my mom got pregnant with my sister, and we became a family. Eventually, they got married, bought a home, yada yada yada. But my mom felt a lot of guilt. She would come visit over those 5 years. She would come visit, but I couldn't. I didn't see her as my mom. Now, I come from a huge family. My mom comes from one of eight. So I had a lot of cousins that were visiting my grandparents' house, and they had moms and dads. It seemed like, to me, there I am, the alcoholic already, right? To me, I felt like I was the only one that didn't have a mom and a dad. And I know that whenever I would say, mention my mom, I want my mommy, the whole house, it seemed to me, would get quiet. And I could feel the energy shift. And I almost felt like I'd said a bad word, like I'd run through the house and cursed everybody out, how offended everybody felt. And that could have just been me. I can tell you right now, in the as a child, my perception was already distorted. I was already a work in progress. I already needed the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I hadn't even picked up a drink. So I'm going to fast forward. Even though my mom came back and I had my dad, and they eventually bought a house, I had my own room. My mom had a friend come to the house and design my room, which could have been in a magazine. Our house was like a magazine. We lived as if, we were the Cleavers. My dad worked, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, four girls in the house. The outside, I was dressed very well. My mom didn't shortchange me at all. She spent her entire life trying to make up for those first 5 years of my life. And I'm ashamed to say I helped her stay guilty for a long time. That's how sick I was. I thank God that I made it to Alcoholics Anonymous, where I got transformed. But for a long time, quietly and covertly, I wreaked havoc in my parents' home. And I wish I could say I was the only one. We were four spoiled brats because both of our parents felt guilty, and we were all self-will ran riot. And that was before picking up a drink or a drunk. I always felt uneasy. I always felt different. I always felt like a fraud. If you knew who I really was, you wouldn't like me. You wouldn't want to be my friend. You wouldn't want to be around me. That followed me until I went to a skip party in 11th grade in the winter. And up until that point, people would call me a cornball and a nerd because I would not do a skip party. My two middle sisters were already out there doing what they were doing, and my parents were heartbroken. So I wanted to be the good one, as good as I could be. But as I noticed, My sisters who were acting out were getting a whole lot of like waivers. Like they were getting away with a whole lot of stuff. And here I was being good and not really feeling appreciated. So again, how distorted my thinking and how sick I was. So I decided I'm going to go to the skit party and I'm going to do what my sisters are doing. And I'm going to feel better about myself. I'm going to be okay with being a bad girl. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. I went to the skit party. Now, my dad always drank. He always had buddies over drinking. My mom didn't allow him to drink in the house. They always drank out in the garage. But it wasn't like I didn't know about alcohol. He'd say, bring me the beer, bring me the vodka, bring me whatever. So it wasn't like I didn't know anything about drinking. But now I'm doing it on my own. I made a decision. I go to the skit party and I'm offered a drink and I take it and I drink it. And by the time it hit the pit of my stomach, I was transformed. All those worries of the world, all that caring about what other people thought about me, the more I drank, the better I felt about myself, the more arrogant I became. I mean, I was like, what? Mess with me. Question who I am. I felt totally empowered. And that's exactly what a spirit is supposed to do. The alcohol worked its miracle right away. And from the age of 17 until I got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, I chased that first feeling, that first act of empowerment until I got here. Until I got that boomerang effect. Now I was in very hoity-toity classes. I was extremely smart. I told you I picked up in my junior year in high school in the month of, I believe it was February. By the time June came, I couldn't graduate with my class. I'd already paid the consequences of picking up a drink and always along with a drug. I went to summer school and I passed. But I can tell you that my parents had to beg me and make promises to me of things they were going to reward me with for getting my high school diploma, my high school diploma. So I got it and I got paid well for it. The expectation was that I was going to go to college. They'd been saving for it. I'd been prepped for college. I was going, going, going. Guess what? I didn't do it. I found out because I'd always worked that if I continued to work, but if I worked full time, how much more money would I have to be able to do whatever I wanted to do? And nobody could tell me what to do. So I did not go to college. I went to work full time. I never did go to college. And I became a menace to society. Wherever I went, I took me, and I was angry, resentful, and full of myself. But in the quiet of the night, I felt such self-loathing, so much self-hate. And I tried to figure out what had become of me. Because once upon a time, I did feel good about myself. And now I didn't. I felt really like ilk, And then I was ashamed because I was always trying to portray that I was so much more than what I was, So I identify with feeling like either on top of the heap or under the heap. Those are the only two places I could find myself at. And then I got into abusive relationships. And because now I'm seeking love in all the wrong places, all the wrong places. Like they say, water seeks its own level. I was not a nice person in relationships. I felt like I was owed quite a bit in relationships, and everybody missed the mark. Nobody could fill the hole in my soul. So I went through a lot of relationships. At one point, I was in a relationship for a long period of time. I had a little girl, and I thought, Okay, the relationship, the guy wasn't all that or whatever, so I thought. But having this baby, that was going to change it all. Like he was going to get better, I was going to get better because now we had a kid. And I knew from my parents that we are responsible. But what I didn't know was that he and I were both caught in addictions. And as a result of it, I started taking him to rehabs and detoxes, trying for him to get better. I didn't know I myself had a problem. What wound up happening was he wound up going to a long-term rehab, and he met a woman there, and he left me and my daughter. I didn't know that he left me and my daughter, not just for this woman, but he left me for recovery. I was still using. And for the first time, he wanted to live. I didn't understand any of that. All I knew, AA took my man and AA, there you go. Hats off, leave me alone. I get involved with a relationship. 4 years later, I hit a bottom. I can't do it anymore. I can't do what I'm doing anymore. I leave this man and go to treatment. I went to detox, I went to rehab, and I'm just going to tell you the main reason why I went. He and I were arguing and fighting. I ran to the car with my daughter. It was a summer night. It was in August, in July. She was in the car and he was holding on to the inside of the car, and all of a sudden he says, "Where's Lakeisha?" I turn around and look. My daughter is not in the back seat of the car. I slam the brakes. We get out of the car. She has jumped out of the back window at the corner and she has rolled. And luckily, through God's grace, my daughter was unharmed. But that's why I came to treatment, because I wanted to be a good mom. It didn't last long. My daughter didn't appreciate my sobriety. She was 4. She didn't appreciate my sobriety. My parents didn't appreciate my sobriety, and I wind up going back out after about 7 months. Because first of all, I wouldn't give up people, places, and things, and I stopped going to meetings. Now I had a sponsor, I had a home group. I was active for the first 7 months, and then eventually I just stopped coming. I just felt like I wasn't appreciated. Selfish and self-centered, boy, oh boy. That is the core of who I am. I lasted 1 month out there and came back. And thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for that. I was out there. My uncle's girlfriend was tricking to get what we needed to get. I'm sitting in the back seat of the car, and this gentleman said, okay, they came to an arrangement. And he told her, he said, "I don't want you. I want the lady in the back." Now, I look pretty good. I'd only been out there a month. I'd been sober for 7 months. I put on some weight. I look pretty daggone good. And my uncle's girlfriend turned around and said, "What's up?" And I closed my eyes and I prayed. And God, let me know if you do this. I don't know if you're going to make it back. You will die out here. So I said, "I can't do it." And they both told me, "Then get out the car." So I got out. It was like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I walked across town to my girlfriend's house, a girl I've been friends with since I was 13. Now I'm 30. The last time she'd seen me, she was afraid of me. Fear all over her. I knock on her door 4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. She pulls the curtain back. She sees me. I see the fear. And all I say is, "Please." She pulled the curtain back. I stood there and I thought, "All right, now where do I go?" She opened the door and she let me in. She told me I had to bathe. I hadn't showered since Friday. It was now Sunday. While I was showering, and she had given me some clean clothes, she had made me something to eat, and then she told me to lay down and go to sleep. I didn't wake up until that night when it was time to go pick my daughter from her father's house. And I know for myself that even when I wasn't praying, even when I wasn't seeking this power was working in my life. I went to my daughter's father's house, and he was with that woman he'd left me for. They now had 2 children. And we were sitting there in their living room. And I was hurting. I'm just back. My sponsor doesn't even know yet. And they're talking. And they're talking to with each other with love and concern for each other. And for the first time in my life, I saw the truth. And I knew, because they were both in the program, that whatever they had, I could have it too. Hope was alive. God showed me I could have it too, but I had to go back. I had to go back to Alcoholics Anonymous. I got home with my daughter. I called my sponsor. She said, "You know where the meetings are? I'll see you there." And I came back. I came back to meetings. Now, this time, nobody was just picking me up or anything. I had to reach out. I had to use the phone. I had to ask people for help. And I did. I did. Eventually, when I was coming up on a year, my future husband, who I was not supposed to get involved with for the first year, I didn't. We didn't, but we knew we were going to do it. I met him at the coffee pot in the rooms. And as soon as I had a year, we moved in with each other and we became a family. Now, I don't suggest anything to people. You go through what you go through. I don't tell people what to do. But my sponsor said it was going to be hard. And she told me that she hoped I didn't put my sobriety on the line for another relationship. Because that was my experience. But my husband, Calvin, and I had been friends throughout that first year that I'd come back into the rooms. So we had talked before we got involved because we knew the friendship was more important to us than the relationship. And we always knew that we always wanted to be friends first. And I can tell you that went through the whole time that we were together and married. Now, was it hard? Absolutely. For the first 3 years of that relationship, when we got married and everything, nobody worked the steps. Nobody worked the steps. But they kept telling us, "You guys need to work the steps. You're on thin ice. You're on thin ice. You're on thin ice." So
Two
Calvin got a
minutes, please,
sponsor.
Anna.
2 minutes?
2 minutes.
Okay. So Calvin went through the steps, and then eventually I picked up the steps. Now, to fast forward, I have 37 years in this program. I just celebrated April 17th. My husband Calvin died January 24th, a year after I'd been retired. You really don't know how much you love and how much God is in your life until you get some time and have worked this program and gone through these steps numerous times. I've had a number of sponsors and I've gone through the steps many, many times. But I can tell you the last time I went through the work, I had that vital spiritual experience in a way I had never experienced. And I never let my foot off the gas around when it comes to this program ever again. I've taken many women through the work in these past couple, 8, 10 years, whatever it's been. And it has been the saving grace. I'm an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a sponsor who knows I'm her sponsor. And with the loss of my husband, if it wasn't for my toolbox and working this program, I don't know where I would be today. It was the hardest thing I've gone through in Alcoholics Anonymous because Calvin was there for my first anniversary, but he wasn't there for this last one. And it has not been easy, but I'm getting through because Alcoholics Anonymous has showed me what I need to do. I need to come to meetings, no matter if they're in person or online. I need to talk to my sponsor on a regular basis. I need to practice these principles in all my affairs, all the steps. And I'm practicing 10 and 11 rigorously, rigorously in a way I never had before. And I thank God and for Alcoholics Anonymous and for all of you because I am here because of everything I've learned here. Thank you so much.